For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
O'Neill outside. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls, from Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio high in Sassafras Mountain in North Georgia. This is O'Neill Outside. Welcome to a brand new unused Saturday morning. Man, what a great day we've got coming up. It's going to rain later. I don't care. Going to rain tomorrow. I don't care about that either. Just enjoy the outdoors. You don't have to get wet to do that. You can just walk around, and that's all right. Stay up underneath the shelter. 6 minutes after the hour, welcome to the program, everyone. I want to tell you, this program is brought to you by Tough Shed, Horsetown, Hayes Auto, Realtree, Fire Aid, Timbuktu Outdoors, True Turn, Roadrunner, Crocodile Bay Resort, Striplings, Works Tools, and the Whitetail Institute. So I'd love for you to join us today. The telephone numbers, if you'd like to do that, are 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta calling area, it's 800-972-8255. You can listen at WSB 750 AM or 95.5 FM on the SB Nation Radio. That's Sports Broadcast Nation nationwide, 126 affiliates. You can listen on your iPad, your iPhone, and at O'Neill Outside and WSB Radio. com. We have the Silent Hero, the Medal of Honor tribute, and your calls this morning on O'Neill Outside. So Woman Williams is here. Karen and Brian Green are operating the studio in Peachtree City, Georgia, and Jason Byers is in the studio in at WSB, and I've almost used up a whole hour. But I will tell you that we had the pleasure in the first hour of speaking with a young man by the name of John Hunter. He's an FLW tournament bass fishing pro, and what a terrific example it was, and I hope you heard it, that it is education and communication skills that will allow you to be a professional fisherman, not just catching fish. A lot of people can catch fish. You have something?
Are we due for a break?
Oh, yes. I've got to go to a break. This is, oh, I got carried away. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. We'll be back. Welcome back. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. I'm going to talk to Alan here in just a minute, but before I do that, if you live, this is for Georgia folks. If you, well, you want to do this?
Sure.
You do it.
Okay. We live in Jasper, Georgia, and there's a local restaurant around here, and he has given us some $25 gift certificates. If you live somewhere where you can use that $25 gift certificate, we would love to give it to you. Rocco's is a pub on Highway 515 mm-hmm. in Jasper. That's just off of I-75, 575, that area. If you can, if you want to win it, you can be the first caller. And but please promise that you will use it, because he was kind enough to give us these to give to
$25
our
gift. Yep. It's really Canton, Ball Ground, Jasper, Blue Ridge, Ella J, mm-hmm. Dawsonville, anywhere up there in that part of Georgia. Just call, and we'll send you $25 gift certificate for Rocco's.
Yep. Good place to eat.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely. 13 after the hour, let's talk quickly to, before I do the, let's say I do the Silent Hero next hour. Let's talk to Alan. He's calling from Lilburn, Georgia on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, O'Neill, Miss Gale.
Hey.
Oh, I love the gentleman that came on at 4 o'clock about the tournament fishing. I hope a lot of people like that, because we're trying to start a bass club at Parkview High School. A lot of the high schools here in North Georgia, the bigger schools, are starting bass clubs.
Yes.
And the one we have here at Parkview, that's the main thing he preaches is the education. Because if you can't sell yourself, it don't matter how good a fisherman you are, you'll never go nowhere.
Absolutely.
Well, the reason I'm calling this morning, O'Neill, I'm going to run the Bass Pro Shop here a little bit, but I'm going to spend the day getting my boat and trailer ready for the year. On the website, about 3 years ago, I found mine. You used to have, you either posted or it's a link that shows you, it's a checklist from the tongue of the trailer all the way back to the propeller.
Okay.
And I was wondering if it was still on there.
It's not, but I can tell you where to find that information and find that checklist that puts you in good shape so the boat, you will not have a failure.
Okay. Go and to, also, the one thing I want to tell my fellow Georgians, as we say, if you're going to Lanier and you're coming from the east or the south to put into one of those ramps or docks and you got to come up Peachtree Industrial or 141, or if you're coming from 85 across the lake, the one thing on that trailer you better make sure is working is the light for your tags, because they will pull you over in a heartbeat. And once they pull you over, they're going to check your boat all the way to your vehicle that you're hauling with. It can ruin your day in a heartbeat just for that $3 light bulb.
Exactly. Good point. Let me tell you where you can find that information about getting your boat ready, okay?
Yes, sir.
Go to boatus.com.
Okay.
It's Boat US. There's 500,000 members, and their information is right on, spec on, every time.
Yeah. Well, I say I got mine off there, off your website years ago, and I laminated it, so I have mine. I just
Good.
Had some friends ask me, you know, where I got this, and I told them I got it off O'Neill's webpage, but I don't know if you posted it or if it was a link that you had gave out to go to. So I'm glad I got that. And
Good. I'm glad.
Like I say, there's no worse feeling to get out there to that lake and your boat break down or your trailer mess up on you going to the lake. So
Boat US is a good organization to be a member of, because if you do break down, they have a telephone number, and they will send somebody to rescue you.
Yes, sir. Lake Lanier has several, a couple of those on the lake that you can you can use, and but I don't have to ever use them. I was dumb one time. I hope not be dumb again.
Okay.
Well, y'all have a great weekend, and try to stay dry, and hope eventually the weather's going to break so we can go crappie fishing.
That's exactly right. It's time. Thanks for calling, pal. Let's see, what's my time? 17 after. I've got time right now to talk to Kenny on O'Neill Outside. Kenny is calling. You're on the radio, Kenny. What do you say?
Hey, O'Neill. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Yeah, I talked to you several times about, you know, we fished that John boat.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, some good anglers in that John boat club.
Yeah, we headed down to Oconee right now to just a fish tournament down here. Guys got a little po' boy trail, they call it. Going down there to fish. But I was going to tell you about a record catch we had last week. Best stringer we ever weighed in over at J.W. Smith over in Clayton County.
Okay.
We weighed in 5 weight, 25-12.
Wow.
We got a 7-pound pot. We broke it. We had the biggest one weighed 749.
Fantastic. What a great catch.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Did you catch a lot? Did you take a lot of photos?
Good payday, too. Yeah, we took a lot of photos.
That's what counts, man. Yeah, those photos are like treasures.
Oh, yeah. We watched them all swim off.
There you go. Well, that's good. Well, that's that's quite a catch. That's a once in a lifetime catch.
Yeah, that was a good stringer. I've been fishing in the club the second year it started. I started in 2006. I'm really the longest member besides the guy that got it started. That's still in it, and that's the biggest stringer ever weighed in. It's been a couple of 20-pound bags, but. That was the biggest one so far.
You bet. You won't ever top that, not likely, but I know you're going to keep trying. Thanks for calling, Kenny.
Okay.
You bet. All right, we got to tell everybody, go to O'NeillOutside.com or go to Facebook. No, go to YouTube and go to O'Neill Outside YouTube channel. Subscribe. It doesn't cost you anything, but it's a favor to me, to Woman Williams and our organization. The more people we have to subscribe to the O'Neill Outside YouTube channel, it makes us look good. Okay? Don't make any money, but it makes us look good. You have questions on Facebook, honey?
Yeah, I do. Did we get a winner for the Rocco's gift card yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Rocco's gift card. Oh, we do have a winner for the Rocco's gift card. We'll tell who that is. Okay.
Great. Okay. Now,
yes, ma'am.
Ricky would like to know, where did his question go? He wants to know about using a crossbow for turkey season this year, and he wants to know, do you have any broadhead recommendations?
Okay. The broadhead that you want to use is the same weight of the broadhead that you use to practice. There's a dozens of broadheads that will be just fine if they are placed properly. What counts is your ability to deliver that broadhead, and that broadhead practice arrow should be the same arrow that you use with the same weight broadhead. Broadhead's great, okay? That's just great. But accuracy is what counts. And this crossbow hunting is really getting to be a big deal. This crossbow for turkeys and hogs and whitetail, big deal, because people get old. I can't draw back anymore. I've had surgery on both shoulders. I used to use a 90-pound weight recurve. Forget about it. I can't do that anymore. Those days are gone. So the crossbow's a big deal, and at certain ages, the crossbow it's super powerful. It's easy to use. It's highly accurate. A crossbow is a good idea. I've used a couple of times, but I'm a muzzleloader guy. 21 and a half after the hour. We've got the Silent Hero coming up, and we've got a lot of calls. Oh, there's Mac. We got to get to him pretty soon. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside on Saturday mornings. We've got to take a short break, and we'll be back to all you guys, I promise. Welcome back. Let's get to some calls here. Next coming up is Mac is calling with the Hayes Ram Fishing Report. Good morning, Mac.
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you?
Good. You headed for the pond?
Yeah, we can go out there and chase them around a little bit this morning, absolutely.
All right, good.
Yep, it's been, it was really interesting. Bass fishing's off the chain on Lanier and a lot of other area lakes. I don't know if anybody's been watching the FLW weigh-in. That will verify that. Just some incredible strings of spotted bass, big spotted bass. So if you're going today and you want to bass fish, we've got a really good crankbait bite. There's a lot of fish on docks, typical pre-spawn pattern. 15-foot dog, so a worm on a lead head will catch you all, pretty much all you want. The one thing with that pattern, a lot of times you'll catch a fish off a dock, so it's a numbers game. Fish lots of docks, you'll catch lots of fish. Mm-hmm. If you're a striper fishing, it's turned into a live bait bite, pulling free lines and planer boards over main lake, the river channel stuff. Kind of a little bit deceptive when you look at that. Main lake stuff out in the middle of the lake, but you're only fishing 5 feet deep.
Okay.
The other problem with that pattern is finding the fish, because unless you see one surface or you see some birds, it's kind of a shot in the dark. So concentrate on river channels, creek channels, where creek channels dump into the river channel. Any concentrations of bait you see, or if you see a certain, maybe just one surfacing fish or some loons or birds working, that's how you're going to find your fish.
Stick around,
Yep. And then we're having to fish small baits way behind the boat, pulling our free lines as much as 100, 120, 130 feet behind the boat.
Okay.
And it's a pattern where you can't catch them fast. There's some nice fish showing up, but it's somewhere you need to be patient and diligent. You'll bang out some singles and probably catch a couple nice fish.
Sounds to me like all across the Southeast, it's time to go fishing.
It is no doubt time to go fishing. The lakes are warming up. The lakes are filling up. Lake Lanier's just shy of full pool. I think we're about 0.3 down from full. And the fish are moving. And we, now that the lakes are full, we've got all kind of nice flooded cover, and we're starting to see some fish get in that. And I think the next time it warms up, that's going to be really the go-to pattern. They're there now. A lot of times that's an afternoon thing as the water heats. But, yeah, really look for that, because most all area lakes now are full at very near or maybe even a little bit above. So it is spring fishing time to go.
New moon in March.
Absolutely. That's going to be a big one. That's going to be a big deal, I think.
You bet. Thanks for calling, Mac.
Have a great Saturday. Everybody catch some fish. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. All right, it's 27 after the hour, a little bit behind, but that's okay because it's time for the Silent Hero Recognition Account.
And now, it's time for the Ronnie Thames Silent Hero Foundation Award, brought to you by Fire Aid.
Robert Diaz. The thing about fire rescues is that the people can be just as dangerous as the fires. Think about this now. Human beings tend to lose their capacity for rational thought when faced by a blazing inferno. You can't really blame them. Now, for New York firefighter Robert Diaz, he needed to follow all of his instincts to save a child from a horrific apartment fire. When Diaz entered the apartment building, and it was on fire, there was no sign of anybody in the room. But his keen eyes spotted a medical oxygen line trailing into a closet. Wow. Following it, he discovered an 11-year-old boy underneath a pile of blankets.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Diaz grabbed the unconscious boy, discovered that the way out was now totally engulfed in flames, but he charged through the blaze and saved himself and that 11-year-old.
Good grief.
He could have turned and left.
Yes.
But he used his instincts to save an 11-year-old boy in a closet from burning to death.
And you think about it, that could have exploded because there was oxygen in use.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. That's the Ronnie Thames Foundation account of the silent hero for today, March the 10th, 2018. And I'm always so proud to do those.
Oh, absolutely. And, yep. And these include not just firemen, but any first responder, a policeman, the guys on the paramedic trucks,
EMTs,
all of those, anybody that puts theirself second.
Well, they notice things from their
That's
just
right.
like that. He noticed that one little oxygen thing going into a closet.
And he put two and two together. So if anybody has an account that they would like for us to consider.
Good idea.
They can certainly get in touch with us through the website.
That's right. Or even Facebook.
Yeah.
At O'Neill Outside.
And that it can be anywhere in the anywhere.
Oh, sure.
It doesn't
Foreign
have to be
countries.
In Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah. And we'll include a photo, and we'll have them for the Ronnie Thames recognition for the silent hero.
Absolutely.
I'm really very proud that we're able to do that.
Yeah, well, they need to be recognized.
Yes. All right, so it's 30 minutes after the hour. Let's talk to Hank the Yank. What do you say, my man?
This has been a New York morning, the likes of which I've never seen on O'Neill Outside.
How's that?
Well, right now I'm on.
Okay.
And about 3 minutes ago, you were talking about one of New York's bravest, Mr.
That's
Diaz.
Right.
Right? And then
right.
about 5 to 7 minutes before that, you were talking about pulling a 90-pound compound bow, and all of a sudden I heard, but forget about it.
Oh.
This has just been a total New York morning show.
Forget about it.
That's right.
Hey, that's an excellent observance, sir.
Yes.
Well, I'm one of the. Not only do I contribute to the show, and I'm happy to, but I'm also a very fond listener of the show.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So, you've always been a great friend to the show. That's for sure.
Well, I'm going to make a statement here that I do so often because I'm a braggart. This show that you contribute to so mightily every week is the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world.
Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable.
Yes, it is. And that is, I have an account. You know, the book is coming out here in about 60 days, and that account as to how that happened is in the book.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, the reason for that, in my opinion, is because of Mac Farr and Bill Carson.
Absolutely.
And Henry Cowan.
And Hank the Yank.
Absolutely.
Anyway, well, listen, let me tell you what's going on really quickly. First of all, okay. I'm going to give you a quick Striper report, a little different from Max for the fly rod angler out there. We're not able to do, when they're pre-staging, like Max said, they're staging out over open water and they're up high in the water column. That's not a fly rod bite, obviously, because you're just fishing open water and we've got to throw it either structure or target. So what I'm going to tell anybody who's going fly fishing today is what they need to do is they need to get into the backs of the coves, and you're going to be able to pick a fish still in the back of the cove or two, but you've got to do it early. That back of the cove bite's going to start sometime at first light, and it may only go to about 9:30 in the morning at the latest. And then again, it'll happen again late in the afternoon, say about 5:30, probably closer to 6 until dark. So you've got about an hour and a half to 2 hours in the morning and about an hour and a half in the afternoon to try and get a striper on your fly rod. And you need to be throwing small baits. They're eating thread fins still for the most part. We are getting ready for that spawning run. And when that happens, everything is just going to cut loose. You got to keep your eye on birds. Listen, you may not see fish surfacing in the backs of the coves, but if you see a couple of gulls or even better part, those little Bonaparte terns, those little terns flying in and around the back of a cove, they don't always go into the very back because they get a little scared going into the backs of coves. But if you see them flying in and out, and they don't go way in the back, but they're in there, and you see them constantly circling, I promise you there's fish there.
Absolutely.
Use wildlife this time of year to find your fish, whether it's terns and gulls or herons on the bank or kingfishers just diving on bait in the backs of the coves. That's what you got to be doing, and you got to be looking for those pockets that are 1 or 2 degrees warmer. And the water temp has dropped in the last 2 weeks. We're back down to about 54 degrees, but if you can find a pocket of 55 or 56, there's a good chance it's going to be loaded with redfin shad, and that's going to lead you to finding a fish or two.
Okay, now tell me about trout fishing.
You know, trout fishing has been okay. It's, we've had a little bit of a rough go with all the rain that we've had. But, you know, because it's been such a cold, I'll tell you, if you want to know a great bite that's going on right now that you can do, right below Buford Dam, we had a heck of a shad kill this year with the cold weather. And because of that shad kill, the shad, you know, die, sink to the bottom, and get washed through the turbines down river through Buford Dam. And the big brown trout and the big rainbows will be looking with their, you know, facing upstream, waiting for those dead shad to come through the turbines. And that would be the way to go. But, O'Neill, before I let you go, there's one thing I just want to mention about this FLW. I watched some of the weigh-in yesterday and the first day, and I have one takeaway that I just think you're going to be tickled pink with.
Okay.
I have noticed more anglers come to this lake and just constant, and these are the pros. These are 186 professionals. I must have heard 24 of them say, I fished lakes all around the country, and Lake Lanier has to be one of the most beautiful lakes that I've ever fished on. What a resource. And I've heard that time and time again. And I just hope that our folks here locally just don't take what we have for granted.
Oh, well, Lake Lanier is the number one spotted bass lake in the United States.
It is a great, great lake. They've
Absolutely.
Been weighing in some chunks between 4 and 5.5 pounds. I mean, a lot of 18 to 22-pound stringers the first couple of days. And I'm watching a couple of these boats go by me right now as I'm heading to the lake. But we are really blessed to have that kind of a resource here in North Georgia.
You betcha. Glad you mentioned it.
All right, pal.
Gotta go, pal.
Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you soon.
You bet. See you soon. There you are. And I have time to tell you to watch O'Neill Outside, Fox Sports Southeast, The Pursuit Channel, Fox Florida, Fox Arizona. And this week, Travis is fishing in Canada. It's a worthwhile show. This is O'Neill. I'll be back.
It's News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now, more of O'Neill Williams.
You're listening to O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings, WSB, the SB Nation Facebook, iPhones, and on and on and on. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I got something. Go ahead.
I think you came in too early.
Oh, I did, didn't I?
Yes.
Did she say something?
Yeah.
What did she did she?
Yeah, she's going to kill
me. I'm sorry, I came in too early. You're listening to O'Neill Outside on SB Nation 750 WSB and 95.5 on Facebook and so on, and I missed my cue, and I'm sorry.
She's going to kill you. Okay. If she comes up here, you're dead.
That's right.
I'm telling
you. I'm a goner.
Okay.
Okay. Go to YouTube, O'Neill Outside, and subscribe. It doesn't cost you anything. It helps us out. I appreciate the favor. Number two, stop at Striplings. They have a great new lunch counter. Like last night, I stopped by there, and we had ribs from Striplings last night.
Yummy.
Huh?
Yes, they were yummy, too.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And Brunswick stew. So go to Striplings. What else did I have? Oh, Horsetown, three stores, and Cherokee County Toyota hats. O'Neill Outside signed hats. When they're as long as they're available there, stop in. Just ask for a hat. They're free. What else?
Okay. Well, I have a question. Do you have time?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Eric would like to know about this Thunder Chicken fishing lure, how to use it, the time of year. You know, he's not familiar with that, and probably no one else is either.
All right, so you can see it on Facebook right now. He sent the question in via Facebook.
Yes, he did.
Here's the Thunder Chicken. It's made by a fellow named Mark Noble off the Georgia coast, and it is the best casting float. Look it up on the internet. Bestcastingfloat.com. Bestcastingcork.com. Look it up. It's the Thunder Chicken. We had a great testimonial earlier in the show because somebody was fishing in the wind. This casts like a bullet, and it's the best cast. It's patented, even. Do you know that? The way this is made, it's patented.
Seriously?
Yes, sir. Patented. Okay, the Thunder Chicken. You can find it. 42 after the hour. Let's talk to Richard. Richard calls us from West Virginia. Good morning, Richard. You're on O'Neill Outside. Welcome.
Yes, I'm on O'Neill Outside. Would you say the number one rated outdoor show in the world?
Well, it's very high qualified, my statement is. It is the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world.
Well, that's a fine how do you do?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it is.
I just heard you say that. I just wonder where these sayings come from. Tickled pink. Not everybody knows what that means, but I mean, wonder how anybody came up with that on tickled pink.
I don't know. Funny. That'd be a good thing for us to look up. Where does that term come from?
I love
things like that too, Richard. To love the source of things of that nature.
Yeah, it's interesting when you do talk about these heroes, first responders, and stuff like that. The only thing I even came close to anything like that was I was going down the interstate and a truck caught fire and flipped over in front of me. And I saw the driver, got out, saw the driver on the ground. And I ran up to him. But by the time I got there, some woman came up, pushed me out of the way, and said, "I'll get to him." She was what you call first responder. That's the closest I've ever been. What I wanted to ask about was this. I've heard about trout being raised in the hatchery. It's the only fish I ever heard. Are there others like that, like maybe bass or catfish or raised in a hatchery, or just what happens to them? Muskie, just any kind of fish like that. Are they all raised in a hatchery, or they just raised like humans, or they just have sex and that's how they're raised?
Well, they're on their own 99.9% of the time. But from time to time, because of water conditions, because of the influx of foreign species, so they have to put in other fish to maintain balance. I know a great example is in North Georgia, someone, not maliciously, but they put in blueback herring in Lake Burton. Well, the blueback herring is not native to that lake. So the blueback herring started eating all of the largemouth eggs and spawn. So now the DNR had to put in lake trout into Lake Burton to eat the bluebacks. So those lake trout were raised in a hatchery. That's how that happens.
Lake trout are raised in a hatchery.
Yes.
So the other ones, like I was saying, muskie and and stuff like that, they're not raised in a hatchery, are they?
No, because, no, that's that. Well, each lake, each area, each region, each Department of Natural Resources has their own issues. Muskie, no, you don't raise muskie in a hatchery. He is a predator, and it would not be that wouldn't work. But what I gave you is a good example.
A little muskie, in other words, what they do is just mate, right?
Yes,
that's how it works.
That's right. That's how it happens. 99.9. But quite often, an invasive species is a good thing, but unless the lake has another predator that can balance that one, then you have to substitute something else, like Lake Burton, which is a great example. That's how it happens. That's why we have the Department of Natural Resources. Those people aren't just rangers. They are scientists, and they thank God for them. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Okay.
You bet.
Thanks again, O'Neill.
You bet. Thank you, Richard. I always appreciate you calling, sir. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Have you got something on Facebook?
No, okay. Nothing new. Okay. No, I mean, no questions. Just okay. People saying hello and what have you.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad to hear from you.
Oh, yeah, we're always happy to know you're that. Yeah,
absolutely. This, I believe this is our 27th year, 26th year, it's been a long time.
Well, you mean on WSB?
On WSB, 93. So this is our 26th year.
Travis was 6 months old when you went to WSB, and mm-hmm. he was born in 91. So you went somewhere around the beginning of 1992.
Oh, okay. It's been a long time.
That's how I always remember it.
Yeah, and the... as we get further along with it, I am completing, at the urging of so many kind people, I'm completing a book. It's called People and Places Along the Way. And it's my experience in the outdoors over the last 65 years, from the time I was 8 years old, or actually earlier than that, till now. And I've been urged to write it all down, and I've almost got it completed, and it'll have, in the book too, we'll have a number of the outdoor recipes from the Big Green Egg and from Swaggerty's Sausage. I think it'll be worthwhile, and you can buy it through Amazon, and this coming week too, we'll be mentioning a way to pre-order that book. We have several hundreds that have already been ordered, and we'll be offering that pre-order stage and method and recommendations to the public. And it's a little bit of a labor of love. There's some great stories. I've met a lot of awfully interesting people, been to some interesting places, and maybe you will enjoy the description that I have about those people and places along the way.
And yes, there's ma'am. Nothing in there about me.
Oh, I...
very little.
No, I can't write about Gail.
I don't know why.
I don't know either.
It might be a good thing.
I just can't. Mm-hmm. I can't write about Gail. I can write about catfishing and hunting.
Oh, yeah. But you can't write about me.
I can't do it for some reason.
I'm just mentioned. I just want everybody to know. Just mentioned here
well,
and there.
Well, maybe I'll surprise you.
Oh, it would be a surprise, all right.
maybe I'll surprise
I doubt
you.
Doubt it.
With a chapter about Woman Williams. Who knows?
Does that mean you're going to do that?
Huh?
Are you going to do that?
No, I'm not. I can't write about Gail.
Well, then don't say you were.
Well, I may have some kind of a epiphany, you know, that would cause that.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Something like that.
I may not ever let it be published.
That's
either.
Right. Uh-huh. It's 50 after the hour. We'll have to hold David over. Let's hold David over until I get through with the Medal of Honor. David from North Carolina. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But I would tell you to go to Striplings. For hey, it's a great place to stop at Striplings. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I got a question on Facebook.
What is it? Quickly.
If you don't have a boat, where's a good place to go to Lake Lanier to fish?
Around then, the ramps.
Okay.
Because people put their fish out around the ramps. They return the fish around the ramps. And okay. It's concrete. You won't get your feet muddy.
Yeah, probably that'd be a good place to go with this tournament that's up there.
Where they release the fish, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, Jason's getting ready. I've got a few seconds before, and this is the most prized and most popular portion of O'Neill Outside, and it's called the Medal of Honor Tribute, and it's coming
honor,
up right
courage,
now.
Courage and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Nicholas Oresco, Master Sergeant, Germany, January 1945. Oresco was a platoon leader with Company C when automatic fire from the flanks pinned down his unit. Recognizing that a machine gun in a nearby bunker must be eliminated, he swiftly worked ahead alone until close enough to throw a grenade into the German position. He rushed the bunker and, with point-blank rifle fire, he killed all the Germans in remaining. Another machine gun opened up on him, knocking him down and seriously wounding him. Refusing to withdraw from the battle, he placed himself at the head of his platoon to continue the assault. As withering machine gun and rifle fire swept the area, he struck out alone in advance of his men toward the second bunker. With a grenade, he crippled the dug-in machine gun defending position and then wiped out the troops manning it with his rifle, completing his second self-imposed one-man attack. Although weak from loss of blood, he refused to be evacuated until assured the mission was successfully accomplished. Oresco killed 12 Germans, prevented a delay in the assault, and made it possible for Company C to obtain its objective with minimum casualties. Sergeant Nicholas Oresco, he died October the 4th, 2013. And that's your Medal of Honor tribute today on O'Neill Outside. It's 52 after the hour.
And that was World War II?
World War II.
Our children told us this week that... We were not having anyone except World War One, two Medal of Honor winners, but that's really not true.
Noel, I'll tell you the reason why right now that I'm using these instead of the most recent ones. I have to have a photo off of the Medal of Honor site to have it on Facebook.
Yes.
So a lot of the newly awarded medals... Mm-hmm. They don't have a photo.
Oh.
So I need a photo.
Well, we'll have to rectify that.
We'll get
to it. As far as Vietnam, we had some of those just in the recent
absolutely.
Weeks.
Vietnam and Iraq, and so on. Okay. I got to get out of here. It's almost 54 after the hour on O'Neill Outside. We'll be right back.
News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Good morning. The O'Neill Outside Show is about to wrap up, but he's been holding on for a while. We all owe a little call here to David calling from North Carolina. Good morning, David.
Good morning, sir. Real quick here. You mentioned 3 weeks ago you were answering a Facebook question. The question was, can I hold on power line right of ways? You said, yes, it's legal. I worked for a power company for 32 years, and it is not legal to do that.
Okay. In Georgia, it is. Georgia Power Company allows that in Georgia, but not in North Carolina, right?
Okay. On Georgia Power land, you can, but all the power in Georgia is not from Georgia Power.
Well, good point. I appreciate you bringing that up.
Right. Yeah, you have to have permission from that landowner.
Okay, good. That's good information. I appreciate that.
All right, sir. Thank you.
You bet. Good luck on this good hunting season. Good luck to you, and I thank you for calling. I appreciate being informed about that. It's 58 after the hour. We've got to get out of here in a moment. Thanks, everyone, for calling.
Even you are wrong.
Oh, absolutely. I'm wrong most of the time. I'm getting used to it. I've been wrong a lot. So
it's great to have people give you a correction on that, because you wouldn't want somebody to get in trouble.
Yeah, don't get in trouble about it. You have to get permission no matter what, no matter where, no matter when. Always get permission. And if you do it in writing, carry it with you. How about that?
That's even better.
Even better. Thanks for joining us on O'Neill Outside this morning. Next week, we'll have the Department of Natural Resources biologist and ranger to kind of kick off the turkey hunting season. Those old ground buzzards are starting to gobble, and from all over. Go turkey hunting, okay? It is, and we'll talk about this next week some. It is it's the number one big game animal in North America. But you keep this in mind wherever you go, whatever you do this week, and that's this. If you're too busy to go fishing or hunting and take a child along, then you're too busy. That's the rewarding part of the outdoors. Involve a child. Involve maybe a kid in the neighborhood whose dad is not a hunter, or his dad doesn't live at home. This is O'Neill, along with Woman Williams, Karen and Brian Green, and Jason Byers. And I'll see you next week. I said, Georgia,
Georgia. Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.